live sequence now.
What's up there, Sparky?
Blessed morning to you guys.
Blessed morning back at you, dog.
Captain Haw.
Tom Thibodeau out as head coach.
He gone.
And I understand dysfunction, and I understand relationships that don't work.
Every relationship has its ups and downs.
I don't like the tone of the press release.
It almost seemed desperate. Kind of like when you break up with someone and you feel the need to broadcast maybe on Facebook.
Fine, I'm done. I'm done.
Gar's on his Facebook page. Gar Foreman is.
That's what this is.
And having a post.
This is a public posting of.
Just to let you know.
Turf war.
Tom used to go in his office and shut the door and lock it. Like he was in there all day. Like it was totally, like, ridiculous.
It feels like totally ridiculous.
I don't think that you're far off.
And you know, he walked by the hallway and didn't say hi. He would always like keep it to himself. He said he would call and never called. Bulls are firing the best coach they've had since Phil Jackson.
That's dumb.
How are they better as a basketball organization
well,
now?
You won't know that until you know who the next head coach is.
It's going to be Fred Hoiberg from Iowa State. There's going to be two mayors in town. Rob, move aside. The mayor could be coming to town as early as next week.
Boy, I'm really at a loss for words here.
From the seventh floor of the Tribune Towers.
Boy, this has been tremendously tremendous.
In downtown Chicago.
Chicago!
Bolchek scores! Beauty!
Come on, sucker.
He is moving like a tremendous machine.
Let's get it on.
It's the Cap'n Haw Show.
Everyone has to do their job.
We're going
to
ball until we fall.
That's a shot and a beer.
Do your job.
That's the Hazleton way.
Let's begin now.
Yes! Good morning. Happy Friday. Cap'n Haw Show. Back for another day. Another day with Jen Latta, who's in here for the Cap'n. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning. I'm so glad it's Friday.
I think everybody is. A lot to talk about. What a week it has been in Chicago sports. Mike Jacobson, our executive producer, keeping us going. All these great ideas. Are we going to have to change the open now? Tom Thibodeau, do your job. Can Thibs still be part of the open? Even though we just got fired yesterday, not only fired, unceremoniously dumped by his owner. Matt Rooney, associate producer, assistant producer. I just gave you a promotion. Your associate producer. Pat Costell, director, keeps us going here on the air. CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com. Big show today. Big show to cap a big week. Will Perdue, 940. Bobby Legesse, the Ames Tribune columnist at 10:10. Boy, why are we having Bobby Legesse on from the Ames Iowa Tribune?
Let's connect those dots.
Chuck Swirsky, the Swirsk, the Sox play-by-play man. Oh, by the way, he also does the Bulls games at AM1000 and Chicago Bulls Radio Network at 10:25. Looking forward to talking to the Swirsk, not only about the Bulls, but what a week it's been for him. Thrown into the play-by-play booth next to Steve Stone, watching baseball after covering 100 basketball games all winter.
Would you say the pace of those sports a little different?
Little different. He had a couple of funny quotes in Ned Sherman's column this morning in the Tribune. He's at 10:25. Chris Cook, 11:10. By the way, there's Game 7 tomorrow night in California.
Yeah, game 7. When do you leave?
I don't know if anybody told you, but I leave at 10:30 a.m. You got the show the next 90 minutes solo, the Jen Latta Show. Coming at you live.
I can't imagine that's legit.
Beer Money and Jen Latta. Where's Luke?
We should get him here. Bring Luke over.
No, I leave tonight.
Beer Money on the radio.
I leave tonight. I will be there in plenty of time for Game 7 tomorrow night. We'll talk to Chris Cook, who's already in California. Goodness, these hockey writers. That's a grueling beat this time of year. We talked about it yesterday. Nobody's going to feel sorry for you getting paid to watch the Blackhawks. But they have done a great job with a tough month of endurance on that beat. And 11:25, the Carm. Mark Carmen's going to come in here and tell us how John Paxson shot down his question yesterday at the press conference. Among other things. Mark Carmen in studio, 11:25, Bulls Insider, fansided.com, and everybody's favorite utility man here at the Cap'n Haw Show. So, yes, yesterday, Jen, was the press conference at the United Center announcing, formalizing, making official the Tom Thibodeau firing. And it was, to me, 27 minutes or so. They cut off questions at the end. I think a lot of people had some questions left. I mean, it was a full house. And we got basically one shot, yes, one question. I asked John Paxson and Gar Foreman about the press release we can get to in a second. I wrote about today from Jerry Reinsdorf, which I thought was below the belt. But the press conference to me was an exercise in defensiveness. I like both those guys. I understand what they did. I think everybody understands what they did and why they did it. I think that at some point a divorce is imminent. And as you pointed out so eloquently yesterday, it's like, you know, a breakup. And you just know people aren't compatible anymore. And that's what the reality the Bulls reach. But I don't know that they needed to be as defensive about it. I don't know they needed to try to, you know, we were getting one version of this divorce. I was a little disappointed in the overall tone of the way this all went down. From the press release by Jerry Reinsdorf, which was unnecessary, taking a parting shot at a guy that was very good for your organization. You're better than that, Jerry Reinsdorf. You don't need to resort to this sort of pettiness. To yesterday's press conference, which I think left a lot of questions unanswered. So, Bulls are ready to move on, but I still think there's a lot to discuss over how it was handled, why this happened the way it did, and there's a lot of national reaction and local reaction to just the way the Bulls handled their business. And this is not a good week for the Bulls. It's not a good look. 312-235-2525. Text us, call us. Let us know what you think. Cap and Haw here until noon.
Yeah, so that's back-to-back examples of where, from a national perspective, Chicago teams are not coming out looking great. Because you have the Bears, who had the Ray McDonald situation earlier this week, and how that was handled, and people getting, you know, from a national perspective, really coming down hard on the Bears. Critical.
Yeah.
Deservedly so, many would argue. And now you have this national perspective of the Chicago Bulls being very petty and very defensive and needing to assassinate someone's character.
Let me ask you
in
this.
In order to part ways.
We're both in the media business. I think sometimes when we are immersed in this on a daily basis, as we both are, we tend to maybe overstate the power of perception sometimes. I get it. We're wrapped up in it. We think that, you know, we're in press conferences and media sessions and one-on-one interviews, and we think that all that matters is how things are projected. And maybe in the real world, things are ignored more than we're aware of. We don't want to overstate the importance of what we do all the time. And sometimes I think we get caught up in that. That said, I don't think that this week, as you point out, the Chicago sports teams, two of the biggest in town, the Bulls and the Bears, have grasped the power of perception and what damage it can do when you mismanage it.
Absolutely.
And from the Bears on Monday, not getting in front of the Ray McDonald episode, to the Bulls on Thursday and then into today, allowing Jerry Reinsdorf, the best owner ever in Chicago, I think you could make that argument. He's got 7 championships. He's a powerful man. He's a successful businessman. Nobody can ever take that away. He's 79 years old. Why is he resorting to kicking a guy on his way out the door? Unnecessary. I don't know that they realize the damage that does from a perception standpoint. And I don't know if the reality matters to them, because what is the damage? I mean, you damage your reputation. You damage your brand. But do you think they don't care? Do you think that they don't know?
I think that internally it was justified. They believed they needed to defend themselves against some of the other stories that were out there about the way that Tom Thibodeau had been treated internally, which is ironic because weren't there mentions in that press release about things staying private?
Yes.
And then to go out and, exactly, like you said, kind of needlessly, unnecessarily air the dirty laundry. But I will say this, anytime you have a successful, and I think by all accounts, with the exception of playoff success, you would say that Tom Thibodeau and the Bulls were a successful marriage. Again, besides the dysfunction that went underneath, from a win percentage.
Yes, they were.
So you have to
think
about the
nice house, the 2 cars,
yes,
the pool, the nicely manicured lawn. They had it all.
So to use your analogy, you have the rest of the league with many of those teams that are futile and that do not succeed on a regular basis.
Right.
So they're looking at this, and those fan bases are looking at this saying, what the hell do the Bulls want? You've got a winning team.
Bingo.
Regularly. Yes, again, you will compare the regular season record with the playoff record, and there's still a disparity there. But that's why the perception is from a lot of people out in other markets,
yes,
going, what do you want, Bulls?
So,
what are you doing?
So which took a bigger hit yesterday? Tom Thibodeau, because of the reputation damage that was done by the way that the Bulls depicted him, or the reputation of the Bulls around the league, people looking at this picture and thinking, why would anybody want to be their head coach?
If I'm being honest, I think it's the Bulls. Because again, something we touched on just briefly yesterday, I think human nature is to side with the underdog.
Yes.
And I think that we all believe that we're expendable on some level in our jobs. So to see Tom Thibodeau, who did have a winning record regular season, it was very successful, lose his job because of dysfunction, because of communication issues, because of difference in personalities.
That was the word of the day.
It really was. I think that more people sided with the coach than the franchise, particularly when they chose to go about it this way.
And you
way.
Make a good point about the hypocrisy of Jerry Reinsdorf criticizing things for getting not staying in-house and then issuing a memo which airs the dirty laundry. And as I look, I don't do this, but this is the lead to my column today. Judging by Jerry Reinsdorf parting shots in a 231-word statement, no wonder the organization struggled with healthy and professional internal communication. It starts at the top. It starts at the top. So are you really surprised if that's the chairman's approach to this, that everyone else had this sort of unhealthy internal way of communicating with each other?
And credit to Tom Thibodeau, who then, when made a statement later in the day, kept it above board. Did not resort
Classy.
To exchanging shots.
He did. His
just said,
job.
Thank you for the opportunity. I have enjoyed it. You know, and you're hearing through these other channels that, you know, it really might have hurt him badly to have the owner with whom he thought he had a pretty good relationship, with whom he respected, kind of take that.
I want to get to that. We will get to that when we get back. We're going to talk about the Tom Thibodeau relationship. We're going to get to your calls, 312-235-2525, already loaded up. We're going to talk about Game 7. Because that's a big deal, and we don't want to overlook the importance and significance of a Game 7 with the Blackhawks tomorrow night against the Ducks. Oh, by the way, the White Sox. They split yesterday in Baltimore. They go to Houston today, the scene of their glory in 2005. The Cubs had the day off. They are back in action today, hosting the Royals, I believe. What a baseball extravaganza at Wrigley. And the 9 a.m. hour is sponsored by Apt Electronics. Cap and Haw, Jen Ladd in for the Cap Man, CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.
Now back to Cap and Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
It is our strong belief that there needs to be a culture of communication that builds a trust throughout this organization. And from the players to the coaches to the management and to the front office, a culture where everybody is pulling in the same direction. When that culture is sacrificed, it becomes extremely difficult to evolve and to grow. And today's decision was about giving this team an opportunity to grow into the future.
That was Gar Forman yesterday at the United Center explaining as best they could the reason for firing Tom Thibodeau, who's out after five seasons and a .650 winning percentage, .647 to be exact. Cap and Haw, CSN Chicago, WGNplus.com, David Haw and Jen Latta, who's in for the Cap Man, talking Bulls, talking Hawks, talking all things Chicago sports until noon. So, Jen, you made an interesting mention of how Tom Thibodeau might have felt stung by Jerry Reinsdorf's comments. And I can tell you that talking to people yesterday, you know, close to Tom Thibodeau, you're exactly right. Tom Thibodeau considered Jerry Reinsdorf an ally up until probably near the beginning of this year. And once a coach gets into a routine, and Tom Thibodeau's routines were relentlessly repetitive and consuming. So he didn't see Jerry Reinsdorf a lot during the season. Jerry Reinsdorf did communicate with management during the season. I think that's where, according to people who are in position to know, their relationship started to not drift, but you don't see anybody. If you don't see someone for a while, what's going to happen? You're not going to be as in tune with what's going on. Yet, yesterday caught Tom Thibodeau off guard. The only thing that surprised him yesterday, based on people who would know, was that Jerry Reinsdorf was as strong in his language, identifying him as the problem and the guy who polluted the culture in the Bulls organization.
Yeah, and having not spoken to either, I'm just taking this from the Adrian Wojnarowski Yahoo.com article, which says, those close to Thibodeau say that Reinsdorf's statement stung the coach on Thursday, that he had treasured his relationship with the owner. Thibodeau had always admired Reinsdorf's accomplishments, a self-made tycoon, a successful sports and media mogul, and always felt that Reinsdorf had been an ally for him. Reinsdorf wasn't around much, though, and talked far more with management than the coach. Mm-hmm. Thibodeau lost Reinsdorf in the past year and ultimately lost his job.
Adrian Wojnarowski from Yahoo Sports did an excellent job at summarizing the steady descent and the disintegration of the relationship between the front office and Tom Thibodeau. And let's be clear here, this is not a three-hour defense of the Tom Thibodeau era. You know, he had his flaws, and that's why he paid for his flaws. And one of the biggest ones was his inability to communicate with his bosses. Mm-hmm. And you've got to reach a point where, as an employee, you respect the hierarchy to the, even though you may not believe fully in the way that they're managing you, or you believe fully in the philosophy, you have to find a way to get along. And I don't think that he always was able to do that. And I think that there's a passage and a reference to when he took the job in 2010, one of his coaching colleagues said to him, you've got to learn to kiss some babies. You've got to learn to be a politician. Tom Thibodeau doesn't suffer fools very well, and I don't think he ever grasped the political nature of his job as well as he could have.
Well, and I think all of us realize that there is some socialization that goes along with our professions, right? I mean, unless you work in a cubicle where you never interact with another human being and you simply punch
the clock. Oh, you mean like a newspaper writer? Somebody writes.
No, even they have to interact with subjects.
No, quiet. I'm typing.
And
don't talk to
people.
Me.
But you have to be able to get along with other people. And there are some personalities where it's just more difficult to do so. If you've never learned how to interact with someone, interact with other people, if you feel in your brain that is a waste of time, takes away time from what you would rather be doing, which in Thibodeau's case was coaching, watching film, you know, elevating players to
yeah.
be the greatest that they could, then yes, it is difficult to convince your brain to take time to do that.
It's your view of
but
the world,
necessary.
Though, isn't it? Doesn't that relate to just how you treat people and how you view your responsibility to, you know, being courteous to people, being considerate to people, or having a broader view than just your job? That's the thing. I mean, we talked about this before the show a little bit. In many ways, this is very easy to understand. People's greatest strengths often are their greatest weaknesses. And Tom Thibodeau's greatest strength was what? His ability to be myopic, to be maniacally focused on the job at hand, to do your job. And he did his as well as any coach in the NBA. The problem was when he locked the door in his office and he was staying there till, you know, the wee hours of the morning, he never really learned the subtleties of communication and relationships and the work environment. I don't know that you can grind your way through life. I think it's the greatest lesson, though, that, you know, the thing that I struggle with here is that Tom Thibodeau succeeded and his team succeeded because they were a testament to what you learn in sports the first time that you're on any team. Work hard, you'll succeed. Now, Tom Thibodeau worked as hard as any coach in the NBA, and he got fired for it. And that's why I think sometimes people struggle, and he's an easy guy to rally around, right? Because he is the hard worker, hardworking coach. But his greatest strength was his greatest weakness, because he never learned how to do the other side of it, do the other stuff, and to show a softness maybe that people could relate to.
Yeah, I think that when you talk about savants, and I'm not necessarily distinguishing him as a basketball savant, but when you talk about people who are extraordinary in their field, I often think of the musician John Mayer, who most would argue is an incredible musician, an amazing guitarist. But even he is a guy who oftentimes has struggled to interact with other people. Because, again, his brain has that kind of one-track musical mentality. And so when he has conversations with just the average Joes, he's oftentimes speaking at a different level. So the pleasantries and the small talk, he doesn't get it. He doesn't understand it.
That is why I welcome you to this program. Because Cap would never, ever compare John Mayer and Tom Thibodeau.
But do you understand the parallel?
I know what you're saying. I know. I do. I understand the point. You're saying that basically people who are brilliant at what they do often are given so much of that brilliance. The God-given ability.
Yeah, the nuances of everyday interaction.
At the expense of being able to relate to the rest of the world. And I think that anyone.
Hey, how's your day? How are the kids?
Yeah.
What are you guys doing this weekend?
Well, Jen, though, I was saying but again, not making a judgment, but Tom Thibodeau's life is what? It's basketball. Mm-hmm. And anybody who is in a career, you know, both of us included, you know that when you were just doing that career, sometimes other things suffer. You know, it's very hard. I had a conversation walking in. It's very hard to parent sometimes when you're trying to do everything professionally, right? And it's at the expense of your personal life sometimes, or the time that you're able to spend with your family. Tom Thibodeau didn't have a family, doesn't have any kids, doesn't have a wife, doesn't have that part of the those concerns that most other people do. So he's all pouring into this, and sometimes you don't understand what you don't know what you don't know. And I don't think he ever realized what you're talking about, that he had to be, you know, somebody who suffered fools, that created small talk, and now we're listening to a little John Mayer. How about that? That's nice. And we'll get to your call.
And look, let's not take away the stubbornness aspect of it either, because when you're very successful at something, you also don't want to be told to do something, to do your job differently.
He was stubborn.
So I'm not saying that, you know, someone would say to him, hey, go shake hands, kiss babies. And he was like, what is shaking hands? What is kissing babies? It wasn't that much. It was also a stubbornness of, I don't necessarily feel like I need to do that because I'm going to win ball games.
If I compare him to Taylor Swift, can we listen to Taylor Swift music at the next break?
I'll see if I can work on that parallel.
Jeff Kelly, John Herb, we will get to you. 312-235-2525. Cap and Haw, Jen Ladd in for the Cap Man. See us in Chicago and WGNplus.com.
It's Cap and Haw.
We probably wouldn't be sitting here if we'd won a championship. You know, that's just the truth. And but we haven't done that. And, you know, we again, I go back to this missed opportunity this year where we felt we had a real chance. And we love our guys. We we're around them a lot, too. We value who they are as people, what they bring to the table, their ability. And so it goes back to that communication and trust that you need in an organization. You need to be able to push each other. That's the way you grow. And that's what we'll be looking for.
John Paxson yesterday at the United Center describing what he is looking for in his next head coach, Fred Hoiberg, and how they will go about doing that, and the fact that they would not be firing their coach if they won the NBA title.
Do you buy that assertion?
Yeah, I think that winning cures all.
I think that it would be even more contentious if they win.
But they would be able to justify it, and the end would justify the means.
But then,
I think it'd be a...
But if some of these stories that we've heard about the stubbornness and the ego and the jealousy existed in this, you know, environment, them winning, I don't think takes that away.
Yeah, I don't think it'd take it away, but it'd be easier to tolerate. Cap and Haw, see us in Chicago, WGNplus.com. Jen Latta in for the Catman. So Will Perdue's coming up at 9:40. Get your calls right here in a second. But you don't think that winning would have kind of given him a stay of execution, so to speak, that he would have kept his job if they won the NBA title.
I don't disagree that he would have kept his job this year, but I think that this is an inevitable divorce.
Yeah, I don't think it would have gotten any better.
Especially if players, has been asserted, were behind the scenes kind of saying, this isn't working. If there were jealousy issues, I think, yes, they win. And then it's almost begrudgingly, because now you can't fire the guy who you had all of this contention with because he did win. You know, your hand has been forced, so to speak.
Yeah.
You want to talk about perception?
The perception would be.
You could never fire a guy who just won the NBA championship.
Absolutely not.
That doesn't mean that they wouldn't have wanted to.
That's what the Cleveland Cavaliers might be facing. They may want David Blatt out, and maybe he's not even the real coach there. Tyronn Lue, or, of course, LeBron James, Coach LeBron James. But if they win the NBA title, they can't fire David Blatt. Let's get to the phone lines, 312-235-2525. Thank you for holding. And Jeff is in Chicago Heights. Good morning, Jeff. Welcome to Cap and Haw.
Good morning, Miss. How are you doing today,
good,
sir? Good morning, Jen. Good to see you back on the show.
Thank you.
Cap, I'm sorry, Mr. Hall.
That's all okay. That.
Mr. Hall, I just wanted to comment on a couple of things. My comment again, I want to give you credit, sir. Listening to your show, listening to the things that you say, I can see that you are a man of great intelligence as far as what you comment on. I'm looking at the fact, going back really quick, you commented on when the Bears wanted to get the guy that they just let go of on Monday.
Ray McDonald.
You were in Arizona with the Cubs, and you made your comment.
Good memory.
Yes, sir. I pay attention, sir. I pay very good attention. So anyway, the thing that you say, I don't think you're being facetious with what you say. You comment, and your comments are legitimate. They got substance. They got realty. And I just want to give you credit on that. As far as the Bulls are concerned, I guess the business thing I can say is I'm quite disappointed. I don't remember the gentleman's name, but he commented one day. I don't remember what it was, but I've seen it. I was watching the Comcast Sports last night, and he commented on the fact that he felt like it was a 50-50 situation, that 50% of it was management's fault, 50% of it was Coach Thibodeau's fault. And I think I have to agree with him because I'm looking back at the time when Jordan was trying to get, when it came up for him to renew a contract, he was having problems with the head man in charge.
Right. And there's been a history of it, Jeff. I think that's what you're getting at, right?
That's my point.
Yeah.
There has been a history with things not going in a good perspective concerning the Bulls. And it's disappointing. It's very disappointing. And I just hope we can get together. Now my mind is, okay, what should I expect when it comes to dealing with Jimmy Butler? You know, his contract is done now, or in a few weeks or days, whatever it is, will be done. But now you got another guy that's in this position who has really played his heart out for the Bulls this year.
Yep, I think that'll be a different situation, Jeff, and I'll get to that. Thanks for your kind words, and thanks for watching.
All right, thank you.
I think the way the Bulls have constructed the roster is not something it's fair to criticize. I think they've really done a nice job of constructing the roster. I think you give Gar Foreman and John Paxson credit for that. I don't think that the way they've handled the coaching situation has been as consistent, because it's like there's two different, you know, folders. There's one here with all the problems and with head coaches, and it's a thick, you know, folder, and the other one with the roster building, and it's really thinner because they've done a nice job. They're two very different sort of skill sets, it seems. And I do think that they deserve credit for that. I don't think they'll have a problem with Jimmy Butler. They've made it clear. They told me in January, we reported that they're going to make him a max offer to keep him a Bull. I don't think anything's changed there.
Go to work, Jimmy!
I think when you talk about the players, though, there could be an argument made for the way that some of the younger players were used, right? I mean, I think that argument has come out about the development of younger players and Thibodeau being very rigid about not playing rookies and, you know, sitting on the bench and watching and learning. And I think that when you have minutes restrictions on some of your other players, there's a belief, maybe common sense, that, hey, you've got a full bench here that you just won't play because of their experience / tenure.
Well, that's a basketball judgment, and that's a basketball reason why they would have gotten rid of him. That's a basketball thing that they didn't address yesterday. They didn't talk so much about – the only basketball things that they were addressed yesterday for reasons of firing Tom Thibodeau, the minutes limits, which I think is also philosophical. It's more about health than it is basketball. I mean, the offensive thing – they didn't get into too much. They lost to the Cavs. They lost to the Cleveland Cavaliers. LeBron James fired Tom Thibodeau, essentially, is what we learned yesterday from Gar and Pax, was that they weren't good enough to beat the Cavaliers, and they thought this was a great opportunity to beat the Cavaliers without Kevin Love, and they should have because they had the roster to do it, even though Pau Gasol was not healthy that series.
The only problem with saying LeBron James fired Tom Thibodeau is it makes it seem like the only reason he doesn't have a job is because they didn't advance in the playoffs.
Well, did you watch the press conference? That's almost the way that it sounded.
I agree, but again,
because how do you reconcile the fact
let's engage the common sense, let's engage all of the information that we have to make a educated decision and not allow that reason or excuse to be the only thing we base it on.
I don't.
It basically is letting management off the hook.
Well, that was the explanation offered.
And
though.
I'm not saying. And if I were in their position, I would
because
certainly
if they
would
have won a championship,
deflect attention.
Yes,
over here,
it's LeBron's fault. Because if they would have beaten the Cavs, they would have. And if they would have won the title, they would not have fired the coach. Kelly is in Chicago. Good morning, Kelly. Welcome to Cap'n Haw.
Hey, how's it going? Good morning.
Good.
I'm sorry. The man deserved to get fired. I mean, his playoff record was horrible. I mean, he won in the regular season, but he won games that the other coaches was resting their players. They didn't care. You know what I'm saying? They was like, look at this fool playing all his players. And then 9 times out of 10, when you get fired, you don't get fired because you don't know what you're doing. You get fired because you don't fit into the culture. You're not listening.
And what culture is that, Kelly? What culture is that?
I mean, listening to management, it's a protocol you have to find. I mean, you have to follow at any job.
Agreed.
You know what I'm saying?
Understood. Go ahead.
You have to follow that protocol. I mean, it was too deep in every position. Too deep. And Doug McDermott is not the slowest white boy to ever play basketball. If he's such a good coach and he's a knockdown shooter, you should find a way to put him on the floor.
Okay, Kelly, thanks a lot for the phone call. Jerry Reinsdorf criticized the culture under Tom Thibodeau and the way that he sort of polluted the culture. We can't have that culture. I don't know, but Jerry Reinsdorf was here in 1998 when the culture between Phil Jackson, Jerry Krause, and Michael Jordan wasn't exactly ideal and conducive for corporate America. I don't think that that was a problem then. Winning cures all. They won championships then. They're winning divisions now. It's different. It is different. I get that. But don't tell me that this Bulls culture has always been so pristine and ideal and the model for what you want to, you know, see in pro sports. Before Tom Thibodeau came, what was the Bulls culture? I mean, Vinny Del Negro, he was who hired him? Before that, how much winning was there going on? Scott Skiles, I think, did a terrific job in Chicago. But he didn't win as often as Tom Thibodeau did. Tom Thibodeau's 5 years will be remembered as a culture of winning. It will. And driving people into the ground. Because that's the perception. The reality is he won a lot of games too. So I don't buy this whole he was bad for the culture. Compared to what? All right, let's go back to the phones. It's John is in Chicago. Morning, John. Welcome to Cap'n Haw.
Hey, Cap. Haw, how you doing? Jan?
Cap says hello from Vegas, and we're doing fine. Thanks.
Hi there.
I know you thought. But listen, I have to say that I'm looking at 64, and I see both points of views. But when you really under management, then sometimes, like you said, you got to know how to kiss the baby. And with Thibodeau, there's a time to where that you take the fault off of you, and you put it on management. If that's what management wants, then give management what it wants. But secondly, even I was able to see the Bulls' offense, and I could tell where the ball was going, and I'm sitting at home. But third, most of all, we shouldn't really get upset. First of all, I should say that Del Negro, he wasn't a coach. So, yeah, he should have got booted out. But most of all, I got to say, remember a guy named Doug Collins, okay? When he came around and the Bulls, everybody got so upset because the Bulls on the urge of the playoffs and they was winning and stuff and everything and all. And then all of a sudden comes this nobody, Phil Jackson. So I think that we should give it a chance. Everybody don't come around and just tell everything and all just yet and get all upset and, you know, want to jump off rules or anything. But, hey, give it a chance.
Okay, John. Appreciate the phone call. Appreciate you watching and viewing and listening and all that stuff. I know the comparison to Doug Collins and Phil Jackson, big difference. When Phil Jackson took the job with the Bulls, there was a certain number 23 that was here that had a lot to do with how much success he could predict during his tenure. I don't see Michael Jordan walking through that door.
Yeah, but none of these guys exist in a vacuum. Phil Jackson didn't exist in a vacuum. Michael Jordan didn't exist in a vacuum. Tom Thibodeau doesn't. Gar Forman doesn't. John Paxson doesn't. Derrick Rose. They all need to work together to achieve the goal. And it seems like if you're building a house, you need to have that strong foundation, right?
Look at you.
There were cracks in the foundation. These guys could not get along.
Jen Laddick.
They were not pulling the rope in the same direction.
Consensus builder. She's available for corporate seminars.
Exactly. Come to my seminars. I will put a little microphone on like Britney Spears and walk you through it.
Now I got Britney Spears on the brain.
We've gone John Mayer. Now we went Britney Spears.
Get the ultimate experience with the all-new Samsung Curved 4K Ultra HD TV at Apt in Glenview. With the Samsung 4K Curved Ultra HD, you'll get the fastest internet and smart TV functions available. Come into Apt today to see the complete selection of Samsung electronics or call them 847-544-2228 for complete satisfaction, free delivery, and a better experience. Shop Apt, pleasing people since 1936. We come back, Will Perdue. From CSN Chicago, this is Cap'n Haw with Jen Latta in for the Cap Man, CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.
Now back to Cap'n Haw on WGNplus.com and CSN Chicago.
For the last week or so, John and I had our exit player interviews, and we had organizational meetings where we evaluated everything, and we took a look at how we thought we could improve. When those meetings ended, we made this decision that we needed to make a change in the coaching position.
I don't want to get into the specifics or the details of everyone, but as we came out of those meetings, it was our decision, again, that we felt a change was needed in order for us to continue to move forward.
Gar Forman on Thursday at the United Center talking about firing Tom Thibodeau. Cap'n Haw, Jen Latta in for the Cap Man. On CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com, we're talking about Tom Thibodeau, the Bulls, their decision to get rid of the coach after 5 years and the way that they did it and some of the expectations about what is next and who will be the next coach. We bring in Will Perdue, the former Bulls center and the analyst for CSN Chicago. Good morning, Will. How are you?
Well, good morning, David. Jen, good to hear your voice.
Oh, thanks. Good to see
you. So, Will, when you watched yesterday and when you reflect back at the 5 years that Tom Thibodeau coached the Bulls, what will be the lasting impression you have of the Tom Thibodeau era, and how would you evaluate, I guess, if you want to call it, for lack of a better term, his legacy?
Well, for me, I kind of look at it as his the word that comes to mind is unfortunate. You think about the direction that this team was going, the aspirations that they had, and then Derek gets hurt against Philadelphia. And I don't want to say it was a downward spiral from that point on, but it seemed like from that point on it was always an uphill battle, and not just on the basketball floor. There seemed like there was always animosity. There seemed like there was always distractions. And I think a lot of that came to fruition in that press conference yesterday. And even more so when you read the specific wording of Reinsdorf's press release. And that's unfortunate because of, I thought overall, considering when you take everything into consideration, I thought, Tom did a great job. Unfortunately for him, there was a guy in the Eastern Conference by the name of LeBron James, and he constantly butted heads with him, and he constantly lost. And there's been many people in this league that had to deal with that on numerous occasions, and that's Charles Barkley. You talk about Karl Malone. You talk about Brad Daugherty with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Unfortunately for all those guys, during their time frame, there was a guy by the name of Michael Jordan in the league.
That's a good point. I think the LeBron James factor is big. But, Will, I want to get back to what you alluded to, the Jerry Reinsdorf release and how pointed it was. And I know you're in a tough spot. You played for the Bulls. You're a former Bull, and now you work at Comcast Sportsnet. Jerry Reinsdorf is the greatest owner probably Chicago has ever seen in sports. And yet I don't think it makes him immune to criticism, and that's what we're doing here. I'm criticizing the way that this was handled because I felt like it stood out because of its rarity and how he took this opportunity to criticize and take a shot at Tom Thibodeau on the way out. It was uncharacteristic, but I wondered, in your experience as a former Bull, as a former Reinsdorf employee, how rare was it for him to do that, and what was your reaction when you saw the way that this was handled?
Well, I think there's quite honestly, there's fault all around. You know, there's fault within the Bulls organization. I think there's fault within Tom Thibodeau. You know, hindsight's 20/20, and I think everybody will step up and agree with that. I was a little surprised by, as you just mentioned, the specific and pointed wording, you know, in that press release. But I also don't think it basically just faulted Tom Thibodeau. I mean, as I read it, I looked at it as, you know, some of the wording as far as open communication, turf. I probably read it four or five times because it wasn't just like, standard press release. This is what's going on. It was like, man, that's an interesting choice of words, how things are written. But the one thing I'll say about Jerry is that, you know, he's pretty straightforward. And if he has a fault, it would say that he's loyal. And anybody that questions that can talk about how, you know, the loyalty he had to Jerry Krause and what that got him, six championships. And I think now the loyalty he has to John Paxson and Gar Forman. And the question is this a repetitive behavior? Because it seems to be a common thread towards the end of coaches' reigns here in Chicago, or is this just a coincidence? And I just, you know, one thing, as you pointed out, maybe the greatest owner of all times, but, you know, I always knew that Jerry loved baseball, and he would do whatever it took to win a World Series. And he's done that, and he continues to try to do that. I wasn't convinced he wanted to do that with the Bulls, but we always know his love of baseball. But I think he also has realized that, you know, it's not just cool to own the Bulls. It's also necessary to try to continue to win championships, and I think that he continues to try to do that, especially since he's already won six. He wants to get back and win more.
Will, you've been around enough coaches during your playing career and now during your broadcasting career, certainly. A lot has been made about Thibodeau's personality and the way he went about his job, almost single-mindedly. What role does the politician play in the NBA? Certainly at the college level where you're trying to convince recruits to come to your program and all of that, but what role does it play in this environment?
No, it's huge because it's you have to deal with it. That's probably one of the reasons up to this point I really haven't gotten into coaching. I've had numerous opportunities, but it's just like, man, dealing with the politics is such a pain in the butt. But it comes with all the positions, the head coaching position, the assistant positions, dealing with management, dealing with fans, dealing with players. And I will say this, the mentality of players now has changed. And it's not what it used to be. I mean, I just, you know, to stand behind Thibodeau, you know, when he talks about, and I look this up, you know, look at the minutes that Michael and Scotty played. I mean, Michael was 38, 39, 38, 39. And no, I don't remember anybody ever criticizing Phil Jackson about, oh, man, you're playing Michael and Scotty way too many minutes. But the mentality of the player has changed. The outlook of the player has changed. I'm not saying that they're not as good. But I think we all agree that the players now are a lot more athletic and a lot better than when I played, but it just seems like the mentality is, and I'm not saying they're not as tough, but just how they approach things is different. And I think that coaches, unfortunately, have to adapt to that, because at the end of the day, as we see here, if players don't produce, who goes first? Most likely the coach. And if a new coach comes in and a player doesn't produce, then they get rid of the player, but it's the coach that goes first.
Absolutely, and I think Tom Thibodeau needs to evolve as a head coach, and I think that was one of the faults. And one of the things that you would think, or you would have hoped before this all happened, that they would be able to communicate that to him and both sides would come to some sort of compromise so they could get along for the good of the organization. That did not happen, and now the coaching search has begun. Will Perdue joins us for another couple minutes here on the Cap and Haw Show. Jen Latta in for the Capman. So the next step, Will, it looks like Fred Hoiberg is – you know, maybe the only legitimate candidate out there. It looks like it is his job if he wants it. The reports are, whispers are that he would want this job. What kind of coach would the Bulls be getting? What is your familiarity with Fred Hoiberg, and how does he fit the model, the guy who will be the communicator, the open-minded guy, the affable one, more so than Tom Thibodeau was?
Listen, I was very fortunate that Fred and I became good friends when he came to the Bulls from the Pacers. And the easiest thing to say is you're probably going to get a Steve Kerr. But you're going to get a guy that has coaching experience. Steve Kerr had no coaching experience. There's a lot of criticism thrown at the Golden State Warriors for why would you, you know, fire a guy in Mark Jackson who's had considerable success for a guy that's had no coaching experience whatsoever, has no record, you have no idea what he's going to do. But yet we all agreed that, you know, from an intellectual standpoint, he truly understands the game. So you felt that he would adapt, but nobody felt he would adapt as quickly. One thing is, I think you've seen is the success that Fred Hoiberg has had at Iowa State, his ability to communicate with players, his ability to adapt quickly. And when I mean that, I mean he got to Iowa State and he realized that, hey, I can't just go out and recruit certain players. I got to take JUCOs. I got to take transfers. And he was willing to do that right off the bat to make that program relevant immediately. And that's one of the things when I say the ability to adapt, that I think that Fred can adapt to pretty much any situation that's thrown at him. You know, I was fortunate enough to cover the Big 12 tournament a couple times and, you know, kind of rekindle that friendship and just talk to him about the heartaches of, you know, what it is to coach, what it is to lose. And, you know, it's one of those things after those conversations, I walked away and I said, you know, I think Fred was built for this. This is what he is, but he also has that persona, that personality that comes across as very easygoing, but he's very competitive. But I think he can also be a guy that can not only relate to players, but I don't know if placate's the proper word, but, you know, as maybe Jen just used the word politics, be able to, you know, deal with management.
Play the game.
Exactly. As long as they give him the necessary means to win. And I think that was an argument that Tom Thibodeau always had. He felt that he wasn't given the necessary means because he felt there were restrictions, whether people want to talk about minutes restrictions, trades, whatever it may be. I don't think he felt that they were always 100% behind him.
Well, I think that most believe that Thibodeau will not be unemployed for long should he choose to not enjoy some time off in the near future. What would you say we've been talking about the politicking. Do you think that the Bulls as an organization carry this, that they the reputation has suffered because of the way this was handled? Or do you think that it just kind of blows past and once again, winning cures all? No one's talking about this if they return to the playoffs and get to the finals.
Well, I think much like the Golden State situation, what if, you know, hypothetically speaking, what if Steve Kerr does, you know, they just don't do that well this year? There's going to be a lot of criticism. So whether it's Fred Hoiberg, regardless of who it is, if they don't do better than they did this past year, I mean, isn't that the whole idea?
Yeah.
If you're going to get rid of somebody, it's because you feel like you can bring somebody else in that's going to do better, that's going to take you to the next level. You know, one of the statements I made about Steve Kerr, he's gotten that other 20-25% out of those players to not only get them to the Western Conference Finals, which have been an improvement over what they've done in years past, and now the finals, which nobody would have predicted. But at the same time now, is Hoiberg that guy, or whoever they bring in, is it that individual that now takes what Tom Thibodeau has? Because much like Golden State, this is a good team. This is, in my eyes, still a contending team, and not just because they're in the Eastern Conference. But it is that next guy going to be the guy that can now not only take him to the Eastern Conference Finals, but take him to the Finals? And if he doesn't, there will be some criticism. There will still be some lingering feelings about, you know, how all this happened.
Will, thanks for your insight. Appreciate the look at the Thibodeau firing and also your thoughts on Fred Hoiberg, former teammate. Appreciate that. And have a great weekend.
All right. Now, I got a question for you. Is there nothing Jen can't do?
Exactly. She's a consensus builder. She's doing corporate seminars. She can sit in for the Catman. Beer money, Bears, socks, whatever you want. She can sit next to Melty. Woman of many talents.
Thank you. Thank you, Will.
She's a snappy dresser, but what does she wear on the radio?
As nice as I wear in studio, I'll tell you that. I've got Converse on right now.
Thanks. Oh, you're not wearing the 5-inch heels? Come on.
I only do that so that I can talk to you eye to eye. And even then, I struggle.
Thanks, Will.
All right, you guys have a great weekend.
You too. Take care. Will Perdue, CSN Chicago analyst and fashion connoisseur.
He's very good.
Yeah, he's very good. I did not realize I knew that they were former teammates. I did not realize the connection that he had with Fred Hoiberg. It'll be very interesting to see if Fred Hoiberg gets a job. I guess it's a matter of when, more likely, how Will will criticize or critique his former teammate. Interesting. We'll get back to your call, 312-235-2525. And Cap and Haw here with Jen Ladd in for the Capman on CSN Chicago and WGNplus.com.
Join CSN Chicago tomorrow night at Anthem Bar in Wicker Park for a special Game 7 edition of Chevy Blackhawks pregame live hosted by Coors Light. Watch as Pat, Steve, and Jamal get you ready for the action, plus enjoy free giveaways. That's tomorrow night at 6:30.
Be back. Your phone calls, 312-235-2525. Cap and Haw.